Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Back in our Father's Word, how fantastic it is. The third chapter of John, the chapter that gives life from our Father. If you're a believer, we closed in with verse 18 where he said, if you are a believer, you're not condemned. You've made eternal life. But if you're not a believer, then you're condemned already. You know, that's pretty final. If you don't believe, you're already condemned to die. That is to say, spiritually. And so it's strictly up to a person. But here we see the love and the understanding of our Father, that it is His will that all come to believe, and condemnation is cast by the wayside. So with that having been said, chapter 3, the great book of St. John, the Gospel, let's pick it up with verse 19. And what does 19 say with that word of wisdom from our Father? And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Their works were. How are your works? Okay. It's by your works that this is the only thing you can take with you when you return to our Father, is your works. And we read that in Revelation 14:13, and how precious it is that the works do follow you. But bad works follow you also, and it can condemn you. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds, his work, should be reproved. Means it would bring conviction upon him. That would be the proper English translation. He stays out of the light because the light convicts him. He's aware of his works. He knows they're wrong. And as long as he stays out of the light, he can practice, make excuses, and get by. He thinks. But you're still condemned. Why? Because of your works. Verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. That's to say, his works can be made manifest or made known, that they are wrought in God. In other words, he's serving God, or she is serving God. That the works and the deeds that one does when they come to the light is not only to be blessed of God yourself, but to be a blessing to other people. That's the mark of Christianity, is compassion. Compassion for the love of God that spreads like wildfire when it's properly fanned. The truth itself that goes out, that reaches the hearts of people, raises people up, and gives them eternal life. They are no longer condemned, but have that eternal life. Verse 22, little change. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea. And there he tarried with them and baptized. Now, Christ never baptized anyone, but his disciples baptized. And they're in that very land, 23. And John also was baptized in Enon, was baptizing in Enon. This is John the Baptist. Now, we're switching John, so be alert of it. This is John the Baptist. Near to Salem, peace, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. Enon meaning springs, and there was water there. 24. For John was not yet cast into prison. He hadn't been betrayed by Herod, and was still baptizing there. Verse 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. Now, Satan always has a way of allowing Kenites to question. They're going to try to stir trouble any way you go at it. And watch what they do. Here we have John the Baptist, and then here we have John, St. John, the Apostle. And here we have the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his disciples. Now, they will, if you can stir trouble and cause consternation, it damages the word. It truly does. Next verse, please. Get ready for it. Verse 26. And they came unto John and said unto him, this is John the Baptist now, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. You were a great baptizer here, John, but there's a man over there that's calling himself Messiah, Jesus, and his people are baptizing more people than you're baptizing, trying to cause dissension, troubles, and jealousies. It won't work with this, with these devout souls that are not condemned. Verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. In other words, all wisdom and all knowledge comes from our Heavenly Father. That's why he sent us this letter called the Bible, was whereby we have his wisdom, we have his knowledge to deal with, and we can absorb it. So what John the Baptist is saying here, the gift I have is from heaven, and the gift he has is from heaven. So that's the way it goes, and there's nothing you can do about that. And it is true that all have the same source because we have one Father. 28, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. And naturally, if you remember in Luke chapter 1, verse 17, what does it say? It says John the Baptist, this same John, came in the spirit of Elijah, not that he was Elijah. And naturally, from the great book of Isaiah, he is the one that would cry from the wilderness and prepare the way for the Messiah himself. Scripture being fulfilled. That word came from heaven. That was the plan of God. And John's saying, that's what's playing out here. You can't do anything with that or make anything from it. You're not going to cause any jealousy on our part. Verse 29. He that hath the bride, that's to say Israel, is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, that would be John the Baptist, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly. Because of the bridegroom's voice, this my joy therefore is fulfilled. This is why I was sent. This is what my duty was to be a forerunner. And naturally, John the Baptist was born 6 months before the Lord Jesus Christ was. They were cousins. Elizabeth and Mary were cousins. And Elizabeth being the mother of John the Baptist and Mary being the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the people from downtown didn't gain anything there. John put them in their place and jealousy went out the window. Why? He's not condemned. He serves God. And he knows that all wisdom comes down from heaven from God. And when we give God credit for that, don't ever take it for yourself, then everything abounds as it should, and condemnation goes in the ditch where it belongs. In other words, the duties of John the Baptist, he would be beheaded soon after this. Verse 30, He must increase, that's to say Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, must increase, but I must decrease. And like I said, he was beheaded not long after this from that woman Herodias. Verse 31, he that cometh from above is above all. He's the boss. He's the Father. He's the Creator. He that is of the earth is earthly, that speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And naturally, you must be born from above. These are the words, basically, that God would bring forth, even from Christ would repeat to Nicodemus when he spoke of, you've got to be come from above. Earthly truths are the knowledge and wisdom you have to survive and to conquer the earth that God gave us the right to conquer. But your leading and your blessings come from above, come from Almighty God, because he is above all. 32, and what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. I'm not the Messiah, but he is. And quite frankly, there weren't all that many receiving it at that time, but the miracles did catch their attention. Verse 33, he that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. Now, what is this seal? Well, where are you sealed? In your forehead. In other words, the word of God going into your forehead strengthens you. It comes from above, and God is all in all. And people cannot deceive you. Why? Because the wisdom from above and the word of God, the leading of the Holy Spirit, you are too wise for that, because you have the seal of God in your forehead. This is why, as I stated in a lecture, two lectures back, in Revelation chapter 9, verse 4, it's Satan is told when he is booted from heaven by Michael, God telling him, you can go down there and you can sting all of them that do not have the seal of God in their forehead, but don't touch my anointed. In other words, you cannot deceive them. They have the truth in their mind. They have learned that truth from above. And nobody's going to deceive them. And that's as it is. And so it is. Our Heavenly Father is so very, very good to us. Let's go with the next verse, please. Verse 34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. In other words, the full measure wasn't with John the Baptist, but it was with Messiah. Why? He was the Word become flesh. Do you remember back the first verse of this great book on chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And certainly that Word, as it would continue on in later verses in chapter 1, the Word would become flesh and walk among us. So Jesus Christ was the living Word. That's why his teachings are so beneficial. That's why his teachings are so true. Because you have a direct hookup to that is from above. That is to say, our Heavenly Father. 35. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things unto his hand. That's to say, even himself, even John the Baptist was given into his hand. And yes, even you today, when you love him and follow him. 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. You're not going to see that eternal life. And that's what this is talking about. But the wrath of God abideth on him. If God's wrath abides on you, you're in a heap of hurt, friend. Because it is his wrath that brings to pass the seven last plagues, the vials. And that his wrath is all conclusive. You cannot have eternal life without loving the Father. Let's just be just downright, right to the earth with it. Why? He doesn't want you. He has gone through two ages teaching man and bringing man forth and letting those that would receive the Spirit. If by the time that we're talking about here comes to pass, if they haven't received it, we don't want them around us. Why? Because we're going into the third earth age and there's nothing there that offends, no tears. So how can you live in a place where there's nothing that offends? You get rid of that does. So you can rest assured. A person that offends or a person that doesn't listen to our Father, he does not have life. And this life, as I explained to you, the word everlasting, it doesn't only mean in the future. It means even in the past. In other words, you had life from the first earth age, this earth age, and the one coming for eons. That's the true life. This is why it is written, and many people have difficulty in understanding it, that even though there were other people created in the garden on the sixth day, and Adam and Eve were created the eighth day, it still says there, Eve is the mother of all living. How can that be if other people were born even before Eve was created? Then naturally, it's quite simple. This verse even explains it. Because through Eve, umbilical cord to umbilical cord, would come the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not in him, you don't have life. And again, not life in the flesh, but we're talking about eternal life. And so in that case, Mother Eve was the mother of all living because of Messiah, the living word that would walk among us, the choice of those that are not condemned, but have eternal, everlasting life. What a great chapter that chapter 3 is in this book of St. John. Like I told you, if you don't understand the triune Godhead after studying the book of John, you're in a heap of hurt. Okay. Chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, and when Jesus knew that, verse 2, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. The disciples did the baptizing. Christ didn't. He wore the mantle and was not baptizing. 3, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, the circuit. Verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. Samaria was not a well-liked place, okay, by the house of Israel. Verse 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, which means an intoxicant, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And naturally, well, what was this? Well, this is where Jacob's well is. Do you realize Jacob's well was 9 feet across and 75 feet deep? It was a well that watered the house of Israel, that gave life, and certainly was a blessing to God's children. Jacob's well, verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, he sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. It was about noon. That'd be the hot time of the day. Okay. Verse 7, and there come a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now, understand this. If a Samaritan woman or any woman of this time was by herself and a strange man was by himself, you did not speak to that woman. It was against the culture at that time for that to happen. You did not speak to a woman, but Christ spoke to her. He did more than speak to her. He says, give me drink. In other words, let's face it like it is. She had a rope and a bucket and was able and knew the combination how to get down into that 75-foot well and draw water from it. And he wanted to drink. Verse 8, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. In other words, he was there by himself, and it was not right. It would not have been, if he were a common man, to have addressed her. 9, then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, and she could tell by his dress that he was from Judea. He was of the tribe of Judah, but he was also of the tribe of Levi. Asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. They don't like us. Especially breaking the rule, why is it that you would ask me? Verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. How precious it is. He said, if you knew. Verse 11, the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Question. Where are you going to get this from? Verse 12, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? How can you offer me something better than this? 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. You're going to have to load that crock pot, the water pail, on your head, and you're going to have to come here again, because you're going to get thirsty and your family is, and you're going to have to re-water. 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. In other words, you are not condemned and you have that everlasting life. Why? Because you're an overcomer. And he's talking about the spiritual water, and Christ is that water. When you partake of that, that spiritual water that just really springs up and overflows and is shared by others when you have that truth, it's a lot better than that water from that well, because it gives you eternal life. 15, the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. She's still thinking in the earth, see. I wouldn't have to make this long, hot trip down here. I wouldn't have to go to the work to draw 75-foot of rope out of that well. I wouldn't have to make the trip. She's still not getting it. Verse 16, Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. 17, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. 18, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. You got that right. I mean, he laid her life right out before her. Now, you know, she's already done herself in if she were going to join a lot of churches. I mean, she couldn't teach a Sunday school class. But Christ is going to convert the woman and use her to reach many people. He'll let her teach. Because when you are not condemned, you're as clean as anyone. When you're forgiven, you're as fresh as anyone. And Christ makes that point here. Verse 19, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. How could he have known those things? 20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. I mean, you know, this is one reason that the ten tribes got in trouble. It was a little too far to go down to Jerusalem, and that's a long story, but where they made the two calves and worshipped here rather than going there. 21, Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. 22, you worship, you know not what. You know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. You might make a home assignment of 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 24 through 34. To understand what happened here at Samaria that makes this come to pass. I'll say that again. We're not going to go there, but make a side study yourself. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 24 through 34. Verse 23, But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. It doesn't matter where you are. Whether you're in Jerusalem, whether you're in Mount Gerizim, which she was speaking of, it wouldn't matter. Because God is with us. And you can worship anywhere, anytime, and no one can prevent you from praying. Because you don't have to pray out loud. God hears you. So no man has the power to stop you from praying. Many might try, but they'll draw a big ought. Because God hears you. When you simply think a thought, He knows what you think. He's a heart knower, cardio knower in the Greek. Certainly, and can read your mind. He says that the hour is now, where you can get rid of all that stuff of saying this place is the only place you can do this or the only place you can do that. You can love me anywhere. You can accept me anywhere. You can ask for forgiveness anywhere. I am everywhere. He created all in all. And how precious it was. Let's go with the next verse, please. 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's in a different dimension than we are. It's like he described that you can't see the wind, nor can you see the pneuma, which is what spirit is in the Greek, and meaning wind. But he says, You worship him in the spirit and in truth, meaning you can't con him. You can't put something over on him. He knows your very thoughts and how precious it is. The woman, verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. 26, and Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. It's why he could give her the living water, the very water of life, the Spirit of the living God. That word that became flesh, and Emmanuel, God with us, was standing before this woman. 27, upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. It wasn't proper. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or, why talkest thou with her? They didn't have the nerve. 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, 29, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? So you see, Christ used this woman. I mean, how could he trust her? She showed her faith. I mean, her whole purpose was to bring that pot down and to get it filled with water and go back home. She was so excited because she believed him. She left it and rushed back into town and started preaching the word. The Messiah is here. And so, what is my point? God uses whomever he wants to. God knows the hearts and minds of people. He knows who he can use and who he can't use.
Well, it wasn't proper for him to talk to that woman. It's proper for him to talk to whomever he chooses, because he uses whomever he chooses. And could he use you? How about you? If he chooses to use you, can you share the truth with people? That's what it's all about. All right, bless your hearts. Don't miss the next lecture. Listen a moment, won't you please?
The book of Ezekiel. What a fantastic study, this book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel that covers, if you would, those vehicles, those circular discs. In the Hebrew, it states very clearly that whirlwind with the color amber traced back to the Hebrew, highly polished bronze. What an exciting thing that God's Word informs us on all things. Ezekiel, one of my favorite prophets of the Bible, probably more written, not probably, but absolutely more written on what will happen in the millennium age than even the book of Revelation. Ezekiel guiding you through it, what God will expect at the final battle, Armageddon and Haman Gog, recorded in this great prophecy. I know you're going to enjoy it. The book of Ezekiel.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645.
That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves, got a question, share it. Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We do not judge people. We have one judge, that's our Father. If you're very wise, you'll leave judging to him. It is a sin for us to judge people. Why? God reads their minds, you can't. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Again, always a pleasure. Now, you got a prayer request, you do not need that number or an address. Why? Because God knows what you're thinking. You don't even have to say it out loud. You know, he created you different than anyone else. Your DNA is different. Your fingerprints are different. You're unique. He wanted somebody just like you, but he wants to be able to use you. Just like he uses that woman at the well today. Though many would call her quite a sinner. He didn't. Because she believed. And to believe destroys condemnation. So, believe upon him and be blessed. Let's go to his throne. Father, around the world we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. We're going to go with Tina from Pennsylvania. I still sin, but I repent and stay in the Word. Will it be okay with God? Well, naturally, when we sin, it doesn't make him happy. But how many times did Christ say, if somebody truly repents, you can't con him? 7 times 7, 490 times. So, yes, he will. He forgives. Repentance, he knows we're not perfect, and we're not. So don't ever give up on studying the Word. The Word gives you strength and assists you in not sinning. Marie and John from Texas, my question is, I see a lot of young people today who are rude to their elders. Why are they like this? If I were rude to someone older than me and my grandmother saw it, I was in trouble big time. It bothers my heart, it breaks my heart to see younger people treat their elders in a bad way. Well, welcome to the times. God, in always being fair, he wanted the third that really were deceived in the first earth age by Satan, that loved him and followed him, to live in the last generation when Antichrist would be released again, because they are the ones that primarily he wants to know which way they're going to go. It's very important. But naturally, if they were the group of souls that followed Satan in the first earth age, then you can understand the corruption, the disrespect. I'm as you. If I had not opened the door for an older person and stood by, I have seen young people run over old people trying to get out a door. It is a sad state of affairs. But God is judge, and this generation is a generation that must learn. I suppose a challenge for a pastor is a challenge of all times in this generation, because it's a hard, hard generation. But praise God, we're able to bring many out of the darkness to the light, and bring forth that eternal life that our Father makes possible for them. Aurora from California, Isaiah 9:6, coming of Messiah. Names are given. Please tell me how I can interpret everlasting Father. If it is talking about Jesus, why does it say everlasting Father? Well, it said he was Mr. Wonderful, if I remember correct, and that he was everlasting. But you're quoting Isaiah 9:6. How about quoting Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14? What does it say? A virgin shall conceive. She will bear a man-child. And you will call him, name him, Emmanuel, which is to say God with us. So, you see, that's why they can say very simply that the everlasting Father. Because if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. Okay, this would be... let's see if I can pick up a name here. Is there any truth to Chrislam being promoted at this time, Christian and Islamic beliefs together? It would be false if it were. It would be the biggest mistake. Why? You either believe in the Son or you don't. It's not well enough to say, and this would be from Georgia, it's not well enough to say, well, he was a good man. He was a good man, all right. That's why they can call him the Son of Man. He was the Son of the living God. And you cannot. It is a gross sin to try to bring another religion into Christianity. Christianity will stand quite well on its own And it has for many, many years, and it will continue to do so. So even if some fruitcake is trying to make a new religion, there's nothing new under the sun. He's probably setting a bunch of people up to be deceived by the false Messiah. Carl from Wisconsin, where did Cain's wife come from? Did all people and things get destroyed from the first world age? He did make a complete end to it. That's two separate questions. The answer to all people being destroyed and cities, you can read in Jeremiah chapter 4, beginning with verse 18. That was speaking of the first earth age. Where did Cain get his wife? God created a lot of people, all the races, on the sixth day. And he looked and it was good. Some of them went to the land of Nod. And when Cain was driven from Adam and Eve's family, he went to the land of Nod and took one of the six-day creation as his wife. That's real simple when you follow the manuscripts. Lori from Iowa. Some Christians say that Jesus gives us power like he had, and because we are children of God, we can be just like Jesus. Can you please explain? I don't want to be deceived, because they say that Satan will come back preaching he is God. Well, it is true that he will come back saying he is God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7 declare that. But I would be very uncomfortable listening to somebody that would say we can be just like Jesus, or that we would have the same power he has. Now, the scripture I quoted from Isaiah chapter 7, that you'll call him Emmanuel, that is to say God. What are you saying then? That if we believe, we can have the power of God? That's almost knocking the door on blasphemy. And certainly if you went along with it, you would be one deceived person. It would be extremely disrespectful to the office of the Godhead to teach a message of that nature. It is a blessing to be a Christian. It is a blessing to have the Spirit of God upon us. But don't ever compare yourself to God. That is blasphemy. Jenny from California. Did God know that Adam and Eve were going to sin before he created them? Did he know that more people after them were going to be sinners? Thank you. Well, he had a pretty good idea because of the first earth age. Why does God create people? And why didn't he just create them where they can't sin? Well, then he would be controlling and he'd have a bunch of zombies. Why? Because the main thing he wants from man is for man to love him. And you can't control somebody and have genuine love, because love must generate within the entity's heart and mind and go outward to the Father. And that's what he wants, and that's why he will not force people to love him. Yeah, I think he knew people would sin. As a matter of fact, if you read Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 and 10, you got first advent, second advent. So he knew Christ would be crucified long before Christ walked the earth. Diana from Michigan. I am concerned about the number 666. It is coming up on things around me. Even my daughter's phone numbers have it. Is there anything wrong with that? It scares me. Well, don't be frightened. You know, knowledge is a wonderful thing. It drives fear away. Don't you know what 666 means? It's the number of the one that will be the deceiver. Now, there are six seals, there are six trumps, and there are six vials. And in the book of Revelation, where it speaks of 666, every time the six seal, six trump, six vial opens, you've got Satan here as Antichrist. So that's what it means, to have knowledge to know that.
that we're speaking here of the sixth seal, sixth trump, and sixth vial, that the true Christ doesn't return until the seventh, or you could be deceived. So hang on to that. They could tattoo you with sixes all over your body. It wouldn't change what your mind loves God, okay? May for Mississippi, there is something in the Bible that says flee to the mountains. I would like to know what that means. You're quoting Mark chapter 13, verse 14, where it says, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place where it ought not. Properly translated in Daniel chapter 7, verse 21, which is what it has reference to, when it says the desolator, not desolation, the desolator will come in on the wings of deception. The desolator is Satan, is Antichrist. Mark 13:14 is saying there, flee to the mountains, they're in Jerusalem when that was started talking about the chapter. It means that when you see the Antichrist standing in the holy place, you want to flee away from there. But however, at the same time, it is our responsibility to be delivered up so that God can speak through us and witness. But that's where it's written. This would be Sharon from Washington. How often to anoint one's home? Every 24 hours? Question. Because different people enter one's home every day. Thank God for Shepherd's Chapel. Well, thank you for being with us. Sharon, you know, what you want to do is anoint your doorpost with the oil of our people against anything evil coming in, piggyback and or otherwise, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that way, even if somebody does come in that has an evil spirit, they got to park it outside. That is power. It's not your power. That's Christ's power. So anoint your home at any time you feel something negative about it. Kim from Texas. Does the 5-month period have to be May through September, or can it be another time of the year? Will we know when the first half of the 5-month period begins? Yes, we will. Why? Because the two witnesses come prior to the 5 months. But it is possible that the Antichrist reign will be May through September. That's the time of the locust. But he's coming as a thief in the night, meaning we don't know. Why would you say that, Pastor Murray? Because I don't want you deceived if he comes in December. I want you to know who it is and what he's doing if he should come in December. Okay. Or any other time of the year. It will be a 5-month period. And in my own opinion, I think it will be May through September. But we're not going to be deceived irregardless of that. Whatever time he decides to come, it will be as a thief in the night. And we're going to be ready for him. John from North Carolina. I've been studying with you for about 4 months, and I have been learning a great deal. I enjoy your teaching very much. The question I want to ask you is, does God control the weather? This pastor told us in church that he did or didn't. I can't make your writing out. I know God controls everything. Can you explain this to me? Well, our Father created the heavens and the earth. And when he destroyed the first earth age, this earth now is about 90 miles off true north to magnetic north. Got a little bit of this allows the firmament to fall, and jet streams appeared. And the jet streams basically determine the weather. So, yes, God created it, but he's not necessarily in every little old storm. It's the thing of nature. And this is why we have meteorologists that are able to determine by the jet streams. by the pressure, millibars, dew points, just about what the weather's going to do. They're pretty good at it. But nature itself determines that. If God so chooses to bring a storm, he certainly can do it. But not normally would he. This would be Diana from Tampa. Your knowledge has helped me understand the meaning of the Bible, how it is remarkable and comforting to be closer to Jesus Christ our Father. P.S. My sister asked me, where did amen come from? Exact translation and language, please. Well, it's either Hebrew or Greek. It's the same word. And amen usually closes a topic, and it simply means when you're teaching and you say amen, you're saying, that's that. In other words, there's no ifs, no ands, no maybes. Amen means that's that. End of story. Linda from Indiana, what is the year of the fig? Please explain. Well, we are told to learn the parable of the fig tree. Didn't say maybe you should learn it. Because why? Because in that generation, all prophecy would come to pass. It would conclude. So, therefore, it becomes very important that you know. And the ground basis for it is the fig leaves that Adam and Eve covered themselves with. But the year part, you determine in Jeremiah 24, concerning the good fig and the bad fig in Jerusalem, that in times that it would be inhabited by both the good and the bad seed, and that when it established itself as a nation, that was 1948, that generation would not pass until all Scripture is fulfilled. Jeremiah 24, or if you have trouble with that, I have a work titled Parable of the Fig Tree. It's not maybe you should know it. You got to know it. Michelle from Mexico, is it possible that God would allow a family member to be our guardian angel, or even more like John the Baptist or Elijah or one of God's people that has passed on? I thank you and all my love for what you do. Well, thank you. We appreciate having you with us. And Matthew chapter 18, verse 10 is what you're looking for. If you are one of the set aside ones, that means one of God's election. It states that your angel has the face of God at any time you need him. If your angel has the face of God, it means they can get God's attention, you can get some help that quick. I believe that with all my heart because I've seen it come to pass in my lifetime in war and peace. Our Father certainly loves his children. Stephen from Tennessee, is it possible for a Christian in good standing, of course, to repent for other people's sins? That is, they have any, of course, like intercessory prayer. Of course, the intercessory prayer is very good. It's not to say necessarily that God will answer it. There may be reasons that he's dealing with that person that we wouldn't know. But it certainly never hurts. I have seen intercessory prayer work over and over. I have seen intercessory prayer change the minds of people that a team of mules couldn't change. Okay. Stubborn, obstinate, and yet intercessory prayer by a wife and boom, a new creature. Doesn't happen every time, but I have witnessed it happening. God works miracles. Awesome. Jeannie from Oklahoma, I have learned from your teachings about the seals, vials, and trumpets. My question is, will the children of God be able to actually hear the sound of the trumpets and do follow the words of Revelation? I'm not sure I can
recognize the symbolism in Revelation. Well, you're going to have the two witnesses here then, but you will. You know what the seals are. And step by step, it's pretty well laid out. And God will never leave us nor forsake us. You can count on it. When you need him, he will be there. And so it is. Vicki from Arizona. Vicki, when a young person sins and does not know a thing is a sin, it's forgivable right now. All you have to do is ask for forgiveness, all right? Vivian from Florida. I watch your TV series almost every day. I believe in you and feel good after watching and listening to you. The only thing I'm concerned about is you're using the term spirit instead of ghost. Oh, it's pneuma, and I choose to say pneuma, spirit, rather than spook. There's no word spook in the Bible. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word. Most of all, God loves you for it, makes his day. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? Bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me, and you listen good. You stay in his Word every day, in his Word, even with trouble. Still a good day. You know why? Because Jesus Yeshua is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the show.